WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Linda Kenyon. A medical rescue plane has crashed in Philadelphia.
Medevac MedService 056, Northeast Tower. Contact Philly 123.8.
CBS's Christian Benavidez reports.
The small aircraft was being operated by Jet Rescue Air Ambulance. In a statement, the company said there were four crew members and two passengers, a pediatric patient and her mother, on board, all Mexican nationals. Back in November of 2023, the same company had another crash in the Mexican state of Morelos. Five people died in that incident. NTSB investigators are on scene in Pennsylvania.
The Trump administration telling top FBI officials who investigated the January 6th riot to retire, resign, or be fired by Monday.
They're not saying the FBI agents who worked on these January 6th cases did anything wrong, carried out their jobs improperly, did a bad investigation. Instead, according to a Justice Department memo, it simply says that these agents and federal prosecutors who are also potentially going to be fired have hindered the ability of the D.C. U.S. attorney to faithfully implement the agenda that the American people elected President Trump to execute, and so the appropriate step is to terminate these employees.
CBS's Nancy Cordes. Former Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is reflecting on January 6th. He spoke to CBS's Leslie Stahl on 60 Minutes.
You said that January 6th was evidence of Donald Trump's complete unfitness for office.
I said shortly after January 6th that if he were the nominee for president, I would support him.
Even if he's unfit for office.
I'm a Republican. I don't get to decide who gets to be president. The American people do. And you have to admit, they did.
The full interview airs tomorrow night. Three more Israeli hostages have been released in Gaza, including an American. CBS's Robert Berger.
Hamas militants wearing masks and military fatigues handed 65-year-old Israeli-American Keith Siegel over to the Red Cross after parading him on a stage in Gaza City. Two other male hostages were also freed, including Yarden Bibas, age 35. His wife and two young children, who became symbols of the hostage crisis, remain in Gaza and are feared to be dead.
In exchange, Israel has released Palestinian prisoners.
We've seen some of the buses emerge from the prisons where these 183 Palestinians have been held. We've seen the families of those prisoners have been waiting to greet them.
The BBC, Sebastian Usher. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. The U.S. Forest Service will not be following through with the National Old Growth Amendment, which would have protected some of Wisconsin's iconic old growth trees. Here's Isabel Charlet.
The amendment was the result of a Biden administration order to tally old growth forests on federal lands and make a plan to protect them from climate-based threats. For Brenna Bell, forest climate manager with 350 PDX, pulling the plug may have been for the best. While acknowledging the amendment offered protections, Bell says there were too many loopholes.
Old trees still would have been locked, except people might have believed that it was protected. So not having it, and so people don't have that false sense of protection, might be a good thing.
The amendment would have prohibited commercial logging on about 25 million acres of old growth forests. Bell adds since the amendment would have most likely been repealed under the Trump administration, withdrawing now allows for the possibility of stronger legislation down the road. She explains federal timber targets drive logging on national forest land, pushing forests to meet volume quotas. While most logged trees are smaller second growth, she adds, there's always pressure to cut large trees to meet targets faster. Bell suggests eliminating timber targets to better protect old growth forests.
If we could just make it so trees could be logged, A, to meet the local timber demand, or B, to have restoration purposes, but not because of some arbitrary target that is set in Washington, D.C., and then just distributed to all of the different forests.
The Trump administration will likely increase timber targets, says Bell, regardless if there is local demand. I'm Isabel Charlet. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly cloudy, highs in the mid-30s. Tonight, some snow mixing with rain, a low around 32. It'll be breezy out of the southeast. Chance of rain and snow on your Sunday, then mostly sunny and warmer with a high around 48. Monday, mostly cloudy, a high of 37.
Right now, it's 15.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Emily Zippos is back as my guest co-host. We're going to talk about Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Brian Hagedorn recusing himself from an Act 10 lawsuit. What does that mean? Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond, 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, hit me, cut it, dude.
Because all the hippies are trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake. Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade, which means Distant Thunder. Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Digga. This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we are like the resistant experts here, and, you know, we got to give a shout out to Navajo Nation and their members down there. ICE is trying to, they had one member, a couple members down there for 9 hours. They had them in confinement. Wow. So we need to still talk about these things that are affecting Indian country as a whole. I know President Green Deer of Ho-Chunk Nation put out a beautiful statement last week that's been shared all around Indian country, and we're lucky to have John Green Deer as president of Ho-Chunk Nation. I know Winnebago, our relatives in Winnebago, Ho-Chunk in Nebraska, are reaching out to descendants and tribal members for IDs. And so we are picking up the resistance again. And I know we have to stay vigilant. We still have to talk about this stuff all the time. We can't fall asleep. We have to be awake. And it's good to have this platform to talk about these things.
Yeah, that's a great point, and always nice to hear positive and supportive messages from leaders in our tribal nations across Turtle Island. So shout out, thank you, Pinagigi, President John Green Deer of the Ho-Chunk Nation of Wisconsin. And yeah, another thing I heard was like descendants. If you have kids or grandkids that aren't enrolled, somehow your tribe should be able to get, you know, attach lineage to your family and be able to provide proof of descendancy. And that's important to just have in general, but, you know, we never know what could happen with federal politics, as we know, with history of our past in relationships with federal policies. And also important to just get that descendancy relationship tied to your tribe. And if anything, it'll just stronger your tribe and make it harder for whatever reason, if someone were to try to unrecognize any federal tribes right now.
Well, everyone, there's a couple things I posted, and one of them is we need to really really clued in on Amendment 14th Amendment, and not let them change the meaning of that true amendment. And then also, you know, there's some things going on that are pretty bizarre. And one of them we talk about, we're talking about, you know, there's some states that are the red states that are passing laws for people to become like bounty hunters and getting $1,000 a person. And what's, you know, and that's a law, you know, I have it on my Facebook here. I'm just checking it out again. Cause I got all these other things like, hey, resist. And you know, it's called Bill 1481. And there's also a bill 42 or 72 in Missouri that are doing the same things where there is going to be a bounty, pay bounty hunters to catch undocumented immigrants. And so, again, we need to be vigilant and talk about these things and not be afraid to talk about these things and get our allies out there fired up too, because we need to be fired up and we need to figure out a few things that really irk us and really stay vigilant on that. Because, you know, what the Republicans are playing is, you know, what did he do? 200 of those the first day. And, you know, they just blind us with all this thing. And we have election fatigue because of many reasons. But we still have to be awake and be vigilant. Haley, I want to change the subject now. Now that I said we have to be vigilant, I want to give a quick shout out to Kathy Coates, who is one of the five runner ups. And we won't know. Minnesota Book of the Year, and that's the Banish book. And Kathy's been a host on our, or a guest on our show, many times. And, a big, shout out to her about the banishment of, to Banish Forever. It was the, Secret Society and the removal of Ho-Chunk. And we want to give her a big shout out. And another big shout out too. You were at the big Auntie show. How was that?
Oh yeah. Well, first, congratulations, Kathy Coates, on the Minnesota Book Awards. That's exciting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went and saw Big Auntie Energy with Ace Bay Comedy, Deanna Standing Cloud, Trish Cook, and the Res reporter, Rob Fairbanks, on Friday. That was at the Parkway Theater, and it was hilarious, as expected. Can't give away, you know, anything in their set, but I do want to say Trish did glue her eye shut with mascara, fake eyelash glue, and I thought that was kind of funny. She incorporated that in her comedy set, but oh my goodness, we're just so funny, us Native people, and it was so good to see other Natives from community in the crowd, as well as white allies too, who were there for a good time. And they'll be doing another show in St. Paul. If you missed this past Friday's, I think that'll be February 14th, Valentine's Day show on Friday in St. Paul. And I think that'll be at the Indigenous Cultural Roots Cultural Center.
Cool. Hey, and also too, the sun's out until 5:14 right now. So I don't know, I'm feeling a little more awake here in Minnesota, huh?
Oh, I know, right? Finally, we made it through, what was it, like the 10 darkest weeks of the year, which is from November 16th to January 22nd. So it's like 5 weeks before the winter solstice and the 5 weeks after the winter solstice. Yeah, and we made it officially.
Yeah, we kind of made it. We got a new president in that interim there. But again, I regress. Hey, February 8th and Sunday, February 9th at Johnson Senior High School, big powwow, Enda Young's 26th annual Cherish the Children Traditional Powwow. I can't talk. What was I saying? Powwow, wow, wow?
Powwow, wow, wow. How many wows in there?
Putting too many wows in there, but powwow. And that's coming up. And then also save the date. There's a on February 12th. There's a Valentine's Round Dance at the Minneapolis American Indian Center from 6 to 9. Bring your kids, family, your Valentine, and stay tuned. Follow the Minneapolis Indian Center on social on the socials for more updates.
Good one. Good one, Robert.
I read that one in one breath. Oh, what?
Sounded like it. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. That's one of your favorite things. That's how you'll be sounding at the round dance, huh?
Yeah. I'll have to stretch out and get really in touch with my yoga because, as you know, round dances go one direction. It's like when I was a little kid, when we were roller skating, when that was a thing, way, way before your time, Haley. Way before. We had to, like, in the middle of the night, switch directions.
Yeah, those round dances, they just keep going. No stopping.
I get hip dysplasia and
have still a sore hips up, all you elders out there.
Have a sore hip the next day. Oh, jeez. Hey, what do we got going on here? We got like 30 seconds left. What's the show about here? I didn't make that meeting. What's the show going to be
Oh, well, we have your TikTok friend. Jonathan's going to be joining us, and hopefully we'll get some updates from the American Indian Family Center.
Yeah, that'd be great. And a great way to start the Monday. And again, everyone, we are the resistant experts, and we need to resist. And that's what we're talking about here in a good way, getting information out there. So, hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we're going to be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1, U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, our uncle... Leonard Peltier will be soon out and was commuted and will be at home with his family. And we really said a million prayers out to him and his family, and we appreciate him. And I just wanted to say that after that bumper. Hey, we have Rhea Peltier, American Indian Family Center Marketing and Communications Specialist. Welcome. Ho-wa. Hey, you're a little, I think you're a little quiet, Haley. Can you hear okay? Or
oh, it's a little quiet and echoey. I don't know. Check out those audio settings on here, Rayette.
Yeah. Hey.
Okay. I'm so sorry. Let me try.
Maybe try to take off your headphones and then we'll pop you back in.
Yeah.
But the family center is always doing stuff like weekly. They have stuff going on like Mondays, Tuesdays they're doing something. Thursday is like my favorite thing. Yeah. They offer crafting group in the mornings, and they offer like all the crafting resources too. So if you don't have something, they can get it for you, or they have teachers there too. So you can learn a lot of stuff at the crafting group.
Well, mine is, I think of my nanny and your Gaga at the Elders Center on Mondays here, learning some at the Elders Lodge, and it's hearing spiritual teachings. It'd be Aunt Barb hearing spiritual teachings is a good thing. Oh,
yeah. Briette, let's test your audio. What's going on at the Elders Lodge tonight?
Yeah, so I'm actually, okay, great. Maybe it was just like this. I was using my, I have a Bluetooth adapter for my not wireless headphones. So,
phone,
so maybe it just didn't like it. And they were
getting fancy on us, Rhea. Getting fancy with all these little connections.
Yeah, so I'm actually broadcasting live, if you will. I'm live at the scene at the Elders Lodge. So excuse me, I ran out to my car to take this call with you all this evening.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having us again. And yeah, we right now Richard Wright is just sharing some stories, not to be confused with winter storytelling, because I know that that you have to have a lot more snow than what we've been getting lately to be telling those winter stories. So starting at 5:30 is then when the elders that stay at the Elders Lodge can share some stories if they want, just about, you know, anything funny of when they were growing up, or just anything of that nature. And then Nelda Goodman, who's one of our elders in residence, chefed up some hominy soup for us. So we'll be sharing that tonight. So yeah.
Maybe my nanny, Aunt Barb, will say Robert's her favorite nephew. Oh, we should bring that up.
I'll see.
Yeah, check in next week and let us know. So what else is going on? I know like Tuesdays you have things happening. Let's talk a little bit about the rest of the week.
Yeah, so Tuesdays and Thursdays we have our reoccurring so it's the same Zoom link, which you can find on our website at AIFCMN.org/events. I see it scrolling on the bottom. That's pretty cool.
All fancy.
I know my ADHD kicked in there a little bit.
It's the same Zoom link, but they're two different meetings. So on Tuesdays from 7 to 8 p.m. virtually, we have a Native American Wellanon, or Wellanon, which is our Native American Al-Anon, and that's for those who want to come and share space with other people that might have loved ones that are also like substance use disorder, or have that, I should say. And you know, it's just like finding healthy coping skills. And then on Thursdays, it's the same Zoom link, and those are facilitated by Cheryl Whitehawk. She's one of our LADCs at the American Indian Family Center, one of our treatment counselors. And it's our 12 Steps Wellbriety program. And that these are both open to anyone who feels that they want to hop in and share some space. And that one is for any kinds of addiction, even codependency. And then Haley, thank you. You're already plugging our Thursday craft groups.
Oh, yeah.
And those are led by Sasina Samreath, and she's an experienced crafter, beader. She does wonderful work. She does a lot of the flat stitch kinds of beads beading, earrings, medallions. And if you want to start a project, like you were saying, we have a lot of supplies there. And then if you want to get help with something you're stuck on. She's great. Like, I've gone to her many of times on my lunch, like, hey, can you help me with this? Or hey, can you help me with that? And she's awesome. And then we share lunch. That's at the Family Center, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Thursdays. And then this upcoming Saturday, we have Life Skills for Youth. And that's going to be led by Pam Gokey. Usually it's led by Dina Carlson. Pam Gokey is our youth services manager, and she hails from LCO. But they'll be doing vision boards, and that's open to youth from ages 14 to 24, which is kind of a big range, but you know, it sounds pretty fun what they're doing. Just vision boarding, you know, what you want for your future. So,
wow. Cool. It is what it is, huh? It's on a board and you're kind of planning out some goals in your life. And
yeah,
that's cool.
Are they like physical vision boards, or are they digital vision boards?
Yeah, they're going to be like hands-on, you know, blue sticks and all. And cutting and all of the things.
Glue stick. That's awesome. Hey, I want to back up a second on Tuesday. Wellanon meetings, and anyone that has somebody that, like you said, has issues with any kind of chemical dependency, it's a great place to not only get help but really help yourself. And I applaud that, because it's not about, you know, going to the meeting and trashing the people, but it's about how you're dealing with things. And the Wellanon meetings are awesome. I've been to them before. And also, you know, if you think you have an issue with drugs and alcohol, and it sounds like codependency too, you want to check out the Wellbriety meeting based on the 12 steps. And that's magical. And anyone that feels like they have a need, they're definitely welcome. Right, Rayette?
Yes. Yeah. And what's really nice about the Native Al-Anon too is Cheryl Whitehawk has been working with White Bison and Don Coyes on coming up with materials for, because it's the first of its kind, her meetings, the Native Al-Anon, which is Wellanon, which is stemming from the Wellbriety under White Bison. Don Coyes's 12 Steps book that he helped write with the, I don't know if he helped write it, but it was with elders, and indigenizing the 12 step program. So it fits more of our spirituality versus the 12 step program from, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous and Naranon Anonymous.
That was hard to say.
Yeah.
Rayette, you're I want you to get information that people can find you, whether it's your website or Facebook, because right now I can see you're getting darker and darker, and we might lose you here in 30 seconds or so.
Oh no, sorry.
No, that's all right. Yeah, let people know.
Yeah, so you can find the American Indian Family Center on Facebook at AIFCMN, as well as on Instagram. And then on our website at www.aifcmn.org.
Hey, Peeny Gigi, thank you for what you do for the community, and keep up the great work. And thanks for the update. And we'll see you maybe next week. Ho-wa.
Ho-wa, mi gwich. Likewise.
All right. All right, Peeny Gigi. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back with our friend, a friend that I watch TikToks all the time, and I'm really excited to see Jonathan come on. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. Oh.
A new choice, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation, 540 WAUK.
CBS News Brief. A medical rescue plane has crashed in Philadelphia.
Medevac MedService 056.
Northeast Tower. Contact Philly 123.8.
CBS's Christian Benavides has details.
In a statement, the company said there were four crew members and two passengers, a pediatric patient and her mother on board, all Mexican nationals.
The Trump administration is telling top FBI officials who investigated the January 6th riot to retire, resign, or be fired by Monday.
A Justice Department memo says these agents and federal prosecutors who are also potentially going to be fired have hindered the ability of the D.C. U.S. attorney to faithfully implement the agenda that the American people elected President Trump to execute. And so the appropriate step is to terminate these employees.
CBS's Nancy Cordes. Israel has released 183 Palestinian prisoners in exchange for three Israeli hostages held by Hamas. CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Bucks head west. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks open a four-game road trip. Tonight, they're in L.A. against the Clippers. Following that, games in Utah, Portland, and San Antonio. Men's college basketball, Marquette with another win over Villanova. 87-74 last night in Milwaukee. The Golden Eagles have never lost to Villanova since Shaka Smart took over as Marquette's head coach. The Badgers host Nebraska tomorrow at noon at the Kohl Center. NFL conference championships. First, the Eagles and the Commanders at 2, followed by the Chiefs and the Bills. Quarterback Josh Allen hoping to lead the Bills back to a Super Bowl for the first time since Jim Kelly was the quarterback back in 1994.
You always remember the feeling of not pulling through. You know, that sticks with you for a while, and it really doesn't leave. But again, I think every year that you go through in this league, you learn more things about yourself, about your team, about the game of football. We look at that, and, you know, we just love the opportunity that we have.
That's the Bills' Josh Allen. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly cloudy, highs in the mid-30s. Tonight, some snow mixing with rain, a low around 32. It'll be breezy out of the southeast. Chance of rain and snow on your Sunday, then mostly sunny and warmer with a high around 48. Monday, mostly cloudy, a high of 37.
Right now, it's 15.
Hey, it's me time at Chula Vista. Time for you to pamper yourself. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by four generations of the Kaminsky family, Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, 18 holes of classic golf, a relaxing spa, or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park. Zip lining through canyon views in Chula's Aerial Adventure Park. And dining comes any way you like it. From pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista. Everything you've been wanting. All right here on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Miles and miles of freshly groomed cross-country and hiking trails. Ski, sled, snowshoe. Warm up at our indoor water park. ChulaVistaResort.com.
Hi, this is Don Brown. Want to sleep in on Saturday mornings? No problem. This Week in Waukesha is now a podcast on civicmedia.us. We'll be acting locally, thinking globally, covering all things Waukesha and why we're proud to be Waukesha Strong. This week's guests are school board member Diane Voigt and Waukesha North Brian Troutman talking about North Star Nation's 50th anniversary celebrations. Join us anytime on civicmedia.us for This Week in Waukesha.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
There are solutions to the rot in the Supreme Court, and it's a congressional binding code of ethics. There are solutions to the corruption. It's a constitutional amendment to declare that money isn't speech and corporations aren't people, and we can do this. These are things that Americans agree on no matter our party. We all know that presidents aren't kings.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Wisconsin-based comedian Eli Pills and Nightlight frequent flyer, musician, producer, and founder of Wisconsinology.com, Frank Anderson. We're going to light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by a Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do. Hey, Haley, you know, one of the things, one of my jams at night before I close my eyes to the creator is I kind of turn on TikTok and I watch TikTok. And there's a thing that over the years has been called Native TikTok. And so my rhythms pick up people that are Native speaking their truth. And Jonathan is one of them. And I'm so glad to have Jonathan on and speak his truth and come on to Native Roots Radio. And just the great things that Jonathan talks about. He's director of the Western Hemisphere Indigenous Network. And Jonathan, do you mind introducing yourself in a good way? Ho-wa.
Hey, Robert. How's it going? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you great. Loud and clear.
That's good. Awesome. Yeah, I'm Jonathan Okutamaza. I'm a tribal member with the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe in South Dakota. I am the director of the Western Hemisphere Indigenous Network, and I work with Next Level Collaboration. You know, I really appreciate you having me on. I know you saw me on TikTok. I know there's a lot of stuff that, you know, that you guys speak on too, that I speak on, and I appreciate what you guys are doing. There's, you know, in our community, there's not a lot of representation. And the, you know, the stuff we do see, sometimes it's misrepresentation. So it's good to see you guys really keeping the community together. And I applaud you for that and appreciate to be a part of what you're doing.
Big Pinigigi. You know, how did you get into media and content creation? And you do a great job. And people, before we get any further, can you please give your name, your TikTok name, so people can follow you?
My TikTok name is RedShirtVI. Just RedShirtVI. And that's Instagram as well. And then that really is connected to my third great grandfather's Chief Redshirt. And I have a podcast called the Red Shirt Podcast as well. So I'm kind of, all those are kind of connected just to my history and my bloodline.
So they'll be able to find, how do they find your podcast?
Find my podcast on Spotify. Just type in the Red Shirt Podcast and it'll be amongst a few sports, baseball podcasts, but you will see, you'll tell the difference. So it's pretty easy to tell.
Awesome. So can you tell us how you got going on media and this content creation? Tell our listeners how you got started.
Right. Well, it really just got started with me researching my history, my personal history. And I was actually adopted. So at a very young age, I wasn't taught my language, my history, really. So it was up to me to reconnect. And when I started that journey, it brought me down a rabbit hole that a lot of us know about. And it really just pushed me to, I think the ancestors really just pushed me to start talking about it on every level. Because as many people do know, but you might not know, I'm an artist as well. I am a hip hop artist. I do tattoo art and a few other things. So I saw my talents and I realized that these could be used to help our community. And so I started implementing what I speak about in everything that I do, because, you know, our people are in an act of genocide, and it's my responsibility, I feel like, to make sure everyone knows about that. And there's a few times where I try to back out of it and be like, this is kind of like a losing, because I know a lot of us feel that way. You know, we're up against multiple giants at all times, and, you know, you feel like giving up, but you know, the ancestors, they're watching and their energy's here to push me through and just help me to, you know, implement this in every way possible. So then I went to Facebook and I went to Instagram, and at first I didn't know about TikTok, because at first everyone thought it was just like a dancing, like, right, media. because I think that's how it started. But I think what I did was I realized that everyone's on TikTok, and I remember Gary V, he's an expert on, you know, everything, but he said that TikTok's the next big thing. And I was like, okay, well, then we need to target that if we want to reach the most people. And that's what I did. And that's where I got the most, had the most people following me is on TikTok, because really it seems like people are, they want to be educated. They realize, the general public realizes that we are actually, what they did to the indigenous community or are doing. So, basically, I just started talking about genocide, assimilation, the Indian policies that are, making it hard for us to invoke our treaties at any level, including what I, a lot of people don't know about or have heard about is the Appropriations Act, which it took our ability to make treaties away in our sovereign nation status. And then that led to this, to the citizenship conversation. So, you know, there's so many things that I just started talking about, and you know, I'm not stopping until we get, you know, everybody on board, basically.
Wow, Jonathan, I appreciate that. I'm an adoptee too, and I just found my tribe 11 years ago, and I knew I was Winnebago, and I found my birth mother, and it's a lot of people know about that story, so good on you. And one of the things I gotta tell you too, I don't think you know this about me, but my real job is I'm a legislator for Ho-Chunk Nation. And what I like, some of your talks on TikTok especially, have talked about how Native governments aren't really doing their job for their people in so many words. And so I appreciate that truth too, because that is something that we don't talk a lot about, you know, to our allies out there, but you do. And I think it's really a great thing, Jonathan.
Right. Yeah. I think there's been this, this silence on our tribal councils and kind of their compliance with the policies that are keeping us where we are. And so I realized that, you know, the first step to change is in our own backyards. And so we can change as people, but if we have our councils who aren't on board with us, where do we go from there? And that's what we've seen is communities trying to rise up and trying to do good things, but councils and legislation making that not happen. And that's what I talk about, the red shirt or the red tape policies that are, you know, just all over. And, you know, yeah, we're seeing that in the media now. We're seeing everyone talking about it. So that's a really good thing, but I'm hoping that we can tune it into what we need. We really need to be focused on, you know, holding every leader accountable.
Yeah, definitely. And I agree 100%. And especially now, but always, but especially now with the attack on our sovereignty from the orange one, and that we really need to have our backyards clean so we can have clear policy to help our members.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and I think that what we need to realize as a community as well is every, you know, since our treaties have been made, no matter who the party was, is there's been a foundation and a system that has been built around exploiting our freedom, our treaties, our rights, and then that transferred into our tribal councils when they made us make these constitutions that worked for the government. It wasn't worked for our communities, worked for our traditional values. It was for the government. And that's one of the big reasons why one of the initiatives, Next Level Collaborations and Western Hemisphere Indigenous Network are doing is we created the Tribal Anti-Corruption League. And what that is, you know, trying to hold these councils accountable with the community. And that's just one of the many things that we're working on. And I can go through that too in a little bit or later on.
Cool. Well, one of the things too, a friend of mine from the American Indian Movement, Madonna Thunderhawk, who was there all the way from Alcatraz to Line 3 and everything in between there, I asked her, how did you guys get so much done? And of course the women led the way and the males got all the press, but she said the less people that make decisions, the quicker things got done. And that's always stuck with me because I feel like my other job is a quagmire of slow moving decisions and things that could really help our people and infighting and lateral oppression and all those things that we don't always talk about here, but are a real thing for our Native community, Jonathan.
Right. Right. Exactly. And I think that when just having these conversations is a really good start, because, you know, we've been having these conversations around the dinner table for a very long time. And, you know, one of the things that a lot of people tell me when we're talking about tribal corruption and just accountability and moving forward in positive ways is they're met with negativity from the council, with, with threats of taking away resources. And this has been happening for a long time. It's nothing new, but I think with social media and people unifying, it's going to come to a point where the tribal councils, you know, it's going to be at their front step, and they're going to have to either step down or step up, is what I always say.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Jonathan, where do you live?
I live in St. Cloud.
Oh, okay. So you're a Minnesota person too. Cool.
Oh, yeah.
And then how long ago did you find your family?
It was about, I'm going to have to say, well, I knew about them for my whole life, but because we still had a little bit of connection there, but it was about 7 years ago, and, you know, did that reconnecting journey and actually connected with my family in Eagle Butte there. And then from there, yeah, it just pushed me to do even more once I saw the conditions that my siblings were in as well, because I have multiple siblings besides me and my two brothers who were adopted at young ages.
Wow. Well, Jonathan, we got another segment here, and this is really intense, good talking. And I know a couple people here have mentioned, like our friend Don that's listening, tribal councils are the biggest sellouts. A corrupt colonized proxy to the United States wards, we're prisoners. And so there's a lot of feeling out there. And I like the fact that you are not afraid to bring these things up and talk about them. And that's great that we're having you on here. We got to take a quick break here. And you are listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm awake.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
Hey folks, this is Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. We have all stopped at a convenience store for a necessity or two. A bottle of water, a half a gallon of milk, or a bag of pickle-flavored potato chips. I mean, those are necessities in your house too, right? But there is a cost for that kind of convenience, as much as 54% more. Now, when I was in my early 20s, like some of you, I may have done most of my shopping at the 7-Eleven around the corner from my apartment. And boy, oh boy, I wish I had known that shopping regularly at convenience stores instead of supermarkets meant I was paying a lot more for my groceries. A National Institute of Health survey recently found that milk can cost 11 to 14% more at those stores. Apples and bananas, 10 to 53% more. And cereal can cost as much as 54% more. So, for your regular food shopping, keep more money in your wallet and head on over to the supermarket. For more tips on saving, text MONEY to 88285. This is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh! Howl. Wow, this show, Haley, this show has been flying. We are here howling here. That means we're on our last segment.
Ooh, ho what?
Hey, Jonathan, thanks for coming back on. I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit and remind people about your Red Shirt podcast and talk about what you guys talk about there.
Right. Yeah. The Red Shirt podcast that, right now, is doing really well. My first actual, podcast was with Ntani Means, and we did that at the the American Indian Center in Minneapolis there. He was in town, and it was kind of a rush thing. We called up the American Indian Center, and they allowed us to use one of their conference rooms to do it. So that was awesome. And then from there, you know, I've utilized Zoom a lot because people are around the United States that I'm working with. Mm-hmm. For now, you know, Sten Jotti, Stephanie Big Eagle, and then upcoming, actually, we have a few others. Wolf Brown, Galerius Wolf, he's a comedian. Tall Paul, he's a hip hop artist in mm-hmm. Minneapolis. And, you know, we have a lot of great people coming up, and we really just talking about what they do. I want to hear what they're doing. I want their story to be told, because it gives our youth and the people who are doing similar things that push that, you know, that I got, that I needed, that we can do this, we can be American Indian in the society and be successful. And, you know, that's where Western Hemisphere Indigenous Network and Next Level Collaborations, where the Red Road Podcast was just one of our things to start that storytelling, because that kind of rolls into tackle the Tribal Anti-Corruption League and getting those stories to be told as well. And then I don't know, a little ways back when I was doing a little less, I was able to really dive into Native news on our reservations, in our lands. And one of the big things was critical mineral mining.
Mm-hmm.
And that's happening right now in Mille Lacs Reservation. Their 1851 treaty is being encroached on there. It's being funded by the Department of Defense. Thacker Pass, same thing. The Black Hills are being targeted. Dozens of these around, because 75% of all critical minerals are on our land. So, you know, and nobody's talking about it. We are talking about clean energy, but we're not talking about what's behind that clean energy and whose land that it's coming from, and, you know, who it's impacting. My thing is, you know, beyond our people, we have to think about our four-legged relatives and our plants and our food and our futures, because our goal is to get back into our traditional values, our languages. And if we don't have a place to do that, it's going to be impossible. So, you know, I always say that Next Level Collaborations, they're the technology. Western Hemisphere Indigenous Network, we're the systems. And the Red Road Program, the Tackle, the Red Shirt Podcast, and Wind News is the implementation. And that's just the start, because we want every like-minded individual, organization, and nations to join our initiatives for a multicultural unification on our standards moving forward with sovereignty. So as far as that goes, coming up here on Wednesday, in 2 days, it's coming up pretty quick. I've just realized that. But I have the opportunity to talk long-term strategies and agreements with my tribal council on the Cheyenne River Sioux Reservation. It's open to everybody, but it's a community-wide in Eagle Butte. And our goal is to connect all tribal nations, you know, with true community-led economies, you know, with those traditional values and language connected to them. So, you know, there's a lot of work ahead of us. And that kind of brings me also into the Red Road Program, which is we're starting on February 3rd. So, like I said, there's a lot to go through, but just to kind of put that, what we're doing with the Red Road Program is getting people who want this true change for our communities, not the change that is funded by the federal government, that is funded by our abilities, our you know, our talents. Because look around us, we see athletes, we see musicians, and they're all so talented. They're ready to you know, be at that level, but it's almost like we're lone wolves, and I feel that I've been in that, and it's mm-hmm. hard to get out of that. So, you know, the Red Road Program is just something where we can get together and talk about strategies moving forward with artists, with musicians, and, you know, hopefully build that long form, community development that is lacking through, tribal council, federal funding, and through all the nonprofits that are, you know, struggling to make up for the mismanagement of funds that the tribal councils are doing.
Yeah, Jonathan, we'd love to have you on again and give us updates if that's in your capacity. You're doing great work, and I really appreciate you coming on and talking about this. And one of our listeners, Santea, wants us to ask you to remind us where and how we can follow you.
Yeah, you can follow me on Facebook, Jonathan Okutamaza. You can follow me on Instagram, RedShirtVI, TikTok, RedShirtVI. There's a RedShirt podcast YouTube that is, I'm still getting started. We want to get the video of the podcast out, but right now, you know, we're just getting the audio. But Spotify, just type in RedShirt Podcast as well, and you'll see a native shirt actually on. You'll notice what it is. But yeah, and then besides that, nextlevelcollaborations.org that's our foundational support for Western Hemisphere Indigenous Network. And then Western Hemisphere Indigenous Network.com. That's a long one, but you know, once you save that in your search box, that'll be there forever. So that will go into what we're doing with the Red Shirt program, with Tackle, and with upcoming things with that have to do with treaty law, because we have a lot of lawyers in our Indigenous community, a lot of professionals who are waiting also to implement their strategies and their, you know, what they've learned to help our cause and to push us forward into true sovereignty and self-governance, you know, self-determination.
Right. And I like how you say true sovereignty, because there's been some TikToks that you brought up, some really good information about that. Are natives really truly sovereign? And I really appreciated those informations and played those a couple times to listen to, Jonathan. Really great information. And I hope that you'll be able to join us again and maybe kind of frequently and give us an update on how you're doing and how we can support you here on Native Roots Radio. This is what we're all about. We started the show because of Standing Rock and all the misinformation that was going on there 9 years ago, and this is our ninth season. And these are the things that we want to amplify, is the things that you're doing.
Right. No, I would love to make it a regular thing for me to get on here and talk about our updates. I also, Next Level Collaborations in Western Hemisphere Indigenous Network, we're an Indigenous led organization, but we're working outside because we need unity from everyone, from outside and inside. So we're actually starting a podcast called Collective Win. And, you know, our target is talking to people like Native Roots Radio and how you guys started. And like you said, you started at Standing Rock. But I would love to get into it with you on, you know, your process, your upbringing, because it seems like we kind of have a similar one there too.
Yeah.
So maybe we can get together on that podcast that I'll be starting soon. Obviously, I'm doing a lot, got a lot going on, but you know, we can talk about it. And I would love to appreciate you having me on too.
Yeah. Well, we really appreciate you, Haley, just a wonderful guest here, Jonathan.
Yeah. Thank you, Pinagigi, Jonathan, and all that you do for the community. And I look forward to seeing you on all platforms and back here on Native Roots Radio.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It's the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, and vote. We're still here. We are the 7th.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll take a look back at the weekend happenings and have an all-new What's Worse. Your chance to call in, have your voice heard. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
I'm Linda Kenyon. President Trump's promised tariffs go into effect today against Canada, China, and Mexico. CBS's Nancy Cordes with the response.
The economic minister said that this is going to end up harming U.S. companies that manufacture their products in Mexico. I'm thinking in particular of major car manufacturers like Ford and GM. He also predicted that Americans will start seeing higher prices for fruits and vegetables.
The tariffs are 25% against goods from Canada and Mexico, 10% against products from China. Top FBI officials have been given an ultimatum. CBS's Christopher Cruz has details.
FBI officials nationwide have been told to retire or resign by Monday, or they'll be fired. Among the officials affected are those at the executive assistant director level at FBI headquarters in Washington. They manage the Bureau's criminal, national security, and cyber investigations. Numerous heads of FBI field offices across the country have also been given notice.
The shakeup targets officials involved in the investigation of Donald Trump after the January 6th riot at the Capitol. A medical transport jet has crashed in a Philadelphia neighborhood. Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro praised the quick action of first responders.
What you're seeing here is a unified response.